And we want to begin this morning in verse 5. Let's read verse 5 down through the end of the chapter. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Our Father, we thank you for the day that you've given us and for another opportunity to be able to meet together in your house and to spend time in the study of your word. And we pray, Father, that you would bless each teacher this morning. We pray that you would honor and glorify your name through your word. We pray, Father, that you would direct in the things that are taught, that they might glorify you, that people would be strengthened, that we would grow, Lord, that we would be able to apply the things from your word to our hearts and to our lives, and that we might better serve you. We just pray now, Father, that you would bless in all things, and we ask you to be with the pastor this morning as he comes and opens the word, Lord, that you would speak through him those things that we need to hear. We just ask, Father, that you would bless in all things this day, that you would receive the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to pull out just a few things here to begin with in verse 5. He says, this is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The statement is made that God is light. You know, we've talked many, many times about how precise the Bible is. That the presence of a single word or the absence of maybe a single word can have a huge impact on what a verse might say. And this verse says that God is light. Didn't say that he was a light. And I think that's very significant. God is light. And we could say that God is pure light, because it says that God is light. In him is no darkness. There's not even a hint of darkness. Go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I mentioned this last week that since the writer of these two books is the same, there's a lot of things that you have in common between what he says in 1 John and what he says here in the Gospel of John. In verse 4 and 5, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then verse 7 and 8, he's talking about John, and it says, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And of course, we know that in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, Jesus says that he is the light of the world. And all these things are tied in together, and you can start running references on all these things, but the first thing that comes to my mind is the book of Genesis. In the first chapter, he talks about the fact that God brought forth light. And after the initial creation, the first thing that's mentioned is light. And again, I don't know what that's all about, but that's what it says. And I find that kind of interesting that the very first thing mentioned is light. And there's a lot of different ways we can go with that, but if we take the opposite side of that, if God is light, where does darkness come from? Everything that is connected with darkness is presented and brought forth through the works of Satan. And there's a lot of different directions we go with this. I don't know how much time we're going to spend on it, but if we compare light and darkness, there's one thing that I've never been able to understand, and I don't, it doesn't take much to confuse me, but why is it that a single match, a single light, a little tiny light, can put out darkness, but darkness cannot put out light? I mean, that's just a weird thought that I have. I don't understand all that, but that's a fact. You can have a candle on the darkest of nights, and you can see that candle for like 2 miles away. You can see that one little pinpoint of light. And darkness cannot put out that light, no matter how dark it is. But there was a time when God put out the lights. If you remember at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there was darkness. And putting a couple things together, the world as such rejected the light. So God just turned the lights off. You know, they say that, spiritually speaking especially, light rejected becomes lightning. You don't get away with rejecting God's light. And there's something else about light and darkness. And I don't know if you ever thought about this much, but did you ever think about why is it that most crime and things like that happen at night? I mean, is that just a coincidence? You know, that's to the point anymore where it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. There's so much crime and everything going on. But typically, these kind of things happen during nighttime. And the only thing different about that is Satan has the ability to caused man to do all these things at night. And yet, it talks about him appearing as an angel of light. It doesn't say that he is, but he appears as an angel of light. For what purpose? To deceive people. And another thought that came to me, and I don't know if it's connected or not, but why is it that a huge amount of false religions are involved in sun worship? Light. It's a false light, you know, and that's connected with this thing of the devil appearing as an angel of light. But what we have to realize is from this verse that all, because God is light, and in him is no darkness, all spiritual illumination will come from God. It's not going to come from man. It's not going to come from man's philosophies, or it's not going to come from the world. It is going to come from God himself. The thing about light is that as humans, we are only going to get light from God's source, and that is from his word. The word of God is likened to light in several different instances. Again, you're not going to get spiritual light from any other source. Now we get into verse 6 and 7 begins a section here that I think the main emphasis, we see a lot more of this through this book, but he begins here in verse 6 and 7 talking about something that seems to be somewhat of a theme through the whole book. He says in verse 6 that if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. There's this thing, and it runs throughout the Bible, and it talks about fellowship with God. How can we have fellowship with God? Well, very plainly, it says right here that it is through his son, Jesus Christ. You cannot have fellowship with God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is something that can only happen because that fellowship has to do with obedience. There's a passage in Malachi, you should all be familiar with it, that says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't walk with God unless you're in agreement. And when you're dealing with fellowship, it is probably the most important thing in a believer's life. And that involves a whole lot of different things. We just mentioned a couple things. The fellowship has to do with that, the time that you spend together with God through his word, through prayer, through fellowship with other people. All these things are connected. But the key to fellowship with God is you have to have things right or you can't have fellowship with Him. I read something years ago, and I think this is probably the closest thing that I've ever seen that defines what fellowship is and what fellowship can be and should be. And the statement was that if your heart is right and your motive is right, everything else should probably fall in place. And when you think about that, number one, if your heart's right, you're in a good relationship with God. If the things that you do, you have the right motive. And what is that motive? It's to serve God and to honor God, to glorify God. If those two things are right, everything else should probably be okay. And in relationship to that, there is nothing else that is more important for all of our relationships than fellowship with God. If your fellowship with God is not right, if your heart is not right with God, you can't, all your other relationships are not going to work either. I mean, it can't happen. And we've talked about this kind of thing before, that if you're, if for some reason, and it doesn't have to be an out and out blatant sin, it's just the relationship is not right for one reason or another. You can't read your Bible. You can't pray. You can't do that. And you can feel it in here. You know that it's true. You have a sense that things are not right. And we actually have I almost hate to use the word choice, but we really do. We have a choice of how we want to walk. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. We'll go back to the book of Ephesians. And Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 8. He says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Now there's some interesting things in that verse. It didn't say that you were in darkness. It says you were darkness, okay? But now you're children of light, and we're supposed to walk as children of light. Verse 11 kind of narrows it down. "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." That tells you how that fellowship should work. And there's something in... back in 1 John, the context is fellowship. And I want you to notice something in verse 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. He says, "If we say we have fellowship with Him." Verse 7, "If we walk in the light." Verse 8, "If we say." Verse 9, "If we confess." Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned. You know what that tells me? That we can walk in darkness or in light. We choose what we want to do. I know sometimes, you know, Baptists don't think you can choose anything, but your relationship to God, you can walk in the light or you can walk in darkness. You decide what you want to do. The end of the story is that you'll suffer the consequences one way or the other. And they could be good or they could be bad. But to get into a little bit more detail on a couple of these verses, the object is to, the things he's dealing with here, the object is to walk in the light. And we have a tendency to willfully walk in darkness. I'll put it this way. It's part of our nature. There's no question about that. But we have a tendency to blame our nature. Say, well, I can't help it. You know, that's just part of my nature. I don't have a choice. Yeah, you do. We do have a choice. Now, in the book of Romans, Paul spends about three chapters, chapter 6, 7, and 8, dealing with the things of the flesh and what we should do. And we're not going to look there because of time, but he just lays out some things in there and says, okay, you know, we sin because of our nature, because of the flesh. And he says, the things that I don't want to do, I do. The things that, you know, it works both ways. And he says that we are to do something about that. We're to not live after the flesh. But because of our nature, we are definitely going to sin. The thing of it is, we can fix the problem. He says in verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So when we sin, we have something to fall back on, and that's the blood of Christ that cleanses us from sin. And turn back to the book of Psalms. We talked about how this fellowship can be established through prayer and Bible study and all these kind of things. But look what else happens in Psalm 119 and verse 9. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. In verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We can be cleansed by the blood of Christ through his word. As we study, we learn, the word teaches us about what we should and should not do and how to handle these things. And there's something about, again, single words. He says the end of verse 7, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. It's a continual thing. Yeah, we are cleansed by the blood, but it also cleanseth us in a continuing way. It's not something that's, like they say, one and done. You know, it's something that has to happen all the time for us to have that fellowship that we should have. Now, we get to verse 8. He talks about, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Again, this has to do with sin as part of our nature. I'm going to skip something here and maybe go back and pick it up in a minute, but it says we have no sin. That can be applied two different ways. Some people just say that, you know, I don't have any sin. They don't have any idea what sin is. And we don't either, really. We'll get to that. We might get to that today. And then there are those that teach that after they're saved that they don't sin anymore. Well, both of those things are wrong. There is no person, saved or lost, that can ever say that they have no sin. We understand that we have sin before we're saved, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from that. But on a daily basis, we have the same thing to deal with. David said in Psalm 51:5 that he was conceived in iniquity. He was born that way. There's nothing you can do about that. And the Lord Jesus came to pay for that sin, not only our sinful nature, but the things that we commit. Those are paid for. Those are covered by His blood. But we're talking about fellowship here. That is going to change. Even though it's covered, it's paid for. It has to be applied. And we get into the how to deal with that. And again, because of time, I don't want to get sidetracked into the book of Romans, but in Romans chapter 6, Paul talks about the fact that that we're dead to sin. Even though we have a sinful nature and we're prone to sin, how do we deal with that? And he says we are to mortify the deeds of the flesh. And that word mortify, It's the root word where we get our word mortician. You know, we're to kill, we're to be dead to the flesh. That flesh should be dead to us. And somebody said, for something that's dead, it sure keeps raising up an awful lot of the time. And that's true. But he says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does that do? That reestablishes that fellowship. And that's the thing we're talking about, is that fellowship. Now,